hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system, just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, Single Scott, singlescott.com. And, of course, we have Mermaid Angela in the studio with us today. We've solved the world's problems in Hour 1. Now it's time to move on to Hour 2 and create some.
Okay.
We're going to create problems.
Although, you know, it's not like we don't have problems. It's not like we don't have problems of our own that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
As an example, Greg doesn't have tickets for Jimmy Buffett in Orlando.
Yes, that is a problem that should be addressed or undressed.
Jimmy Buffett?
What about all your connections?
Once again, weird luck.
Hold on.
It didn't come out right.
Greg,
I'm sorry.
Greg,
what?
Take off your shirt and show her what they drew on your chest.
Yeah,
no.
Check this out, Angela.
No, thank you.
It's lipstick.
Check out my ab.
That's lipstick.
You see my ab?
He's got one.
He's
impressive.
Got the
I've been working
one
out.
One pack.
Here's the thing that someone drew the cover art from Jimmy Buffett's newest album, Buffett Hotel, on Greg's chest in lipstick. He still didn't realize that it only has one T.
Here, watch. I can make my belly button whistle.
So you were really thinking hard this whole past week about the body painting situation. You wanted to get in on that.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. So anyway, well, I guess we've just created one problem. But you can easily, you'll just block that out. Okay, let's move on to some other, dive-related stuff. Now, I mentioned a potential spearfishing tournament. Now, I'm not a big fan of spearfishing tournaments, personally. I have no problem with spearfishing, but it's not my cup of tea, really. However, here's one I can endorse.
Okay.
The folks in Cozumel have created a spearfishing tournament to eradicate the lionfish, which is an invasive species. You know, we've talked about this many times
before. Nobody likes a liar.
They're lionfish, I tell you. They need to be stopped. But the lionfish have really taken over the Caribbean, and they're creating quite a problem. At least, you know, most marine biologists and fish experts are really concerned that the lionfish are coming in and taking over the ecosystem, the underwater ecosystem, and feeding on, you know, all the, you know, juvenile groupers, and maybe having a problem, you know, an issue with that species. We don't really know, is the bottom line, but it's
and
hard
things
to
we
dispute.
Don't know should be killed.
Well, you know, it's hard to dispute the fact that, you know, 5 years ago, you go to a place in the Bahamas or even in South Florida, and you never see a lionfish. Now it's almost standard. I mean, you see them all the time.
Right.
They have they have definitely taken over the reefs. And Scott, you've been around diving way more than even I have.
Yeah. Oh, they're everywhere.
He's saying you're old.
That's true.
I mean, but when you compare it to 5-10 years ago, when it'd be extremely rare to see a lionfish in the Caribbean. Now it's more, you see them more common.
Everywhere. If you don't see one, you're wondering, you know, what, didn't I see one?
Exactly.
And they're big now, too. I mean, they're huge.
They have no
predators.
Natural predators, yeah. And so they've definitely come in. So, you know, Cozumel.
And no conscience.
They've just started showing up in Cozumel and the last year or two. And so one of the dive operations there has set up a spearfishing tournament where they're actually going to set up a reward now through June, where if you go down and you spear one or take it out, they're like, I guess, largest lionfish, number of lionfish, but you use an incentive like a spearfishing tournament over a few month period to help eradicate the lionfish. Now, not only is it an interesting way to go about doing that, and whether it's successful, only time will tell. I will say we've had this report several times on the show before, too, that lionfish are supposedly a very good-eaten fish. Believe it or not, they actually taste really good. Now, I haven't personally tried one. I've wanted to. I was on one dive boat, live aboard boat, a few years ago, and we were going to get one and fry it up and see what it tasted like, but we didn't. We had to change our plan at the last minute. But I have heard that they are very good eating fish.
And you know what? Angela's making that face again. She cannot imagine what happened to your plans you couldn't eat a lionfish.
Well, they were serving steak that night, too.
So
it was like lionfish or steak. And I was like, okay. I'm going for the
steak. Now,
no surf and turf.
Yeah, I was going to say, what, where did the word and fall out of your vocabulary?
Well,
it's not or, it's and.
It would have been a pain for the cook, so I didn't want to put him through that.
That ab says to me, and is a part of your...
Yeah,
your,
whatever.
Your menu.
Whatever, you know, Atlas.
Now, I was not aware they were
Charles
already
Atlas.
Down in Cozumel.
Fabio.
So what are the prizes
that
for
kid
this?
From Twilight? Well, I'm sorry, what now?
Do they have prizes?
Yeah, it's like $500 cash prize. You know, I mean, you know, you come up with a bunch of different
Jimmy Buffett
prizes.
Tickets?
Well, maybe.
All you can eat.
But is this something that should be modeled for some other places, like you say, like Fort Lauderdale?
I will tell you,
Keys,
I have never heard. I have not heard anyone say that we must come to the defense of the poor lionfish.
No, I will say when they first started popping up in Florida, I did.
Yeah,
because I wanted to see one. I'd
right.
never seen one. I was like, hey.
Now that they're popping up in New Jersey,
yeah. Now I'm kind of like, okay, now wait a minute, something is wrong. There's way too many. I mean, it's one thing to see one, you know, pop up in a blue moon, but literally you can go off the coast of Florida or in the Bahamas or someplace especially.
Most bathtubs in Pompano Beach.
I mean, it's remarkable how many lionfish you'll see. Probably in some places, I would venture to say you'll see way more lionfish in the Bahamas in some places than you would in Australia or some places where they're supposedly, you know, it's their
native habitat.
Exactly.
Well,
so
when we were in Fiji, our dive guides kept pointing them out, like, oh, check this out.
Yeah,
and
like,
we had just, you know,
so what?
We've been to the Bahamas. And we're like, yeah, we've seen those. Next,
yeah.
You know.
Now, so. in the Pacific, do they have a natural predator?
Yeah, the people eat them.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I guess they do. They must have some kind of predator that keeps them at bay to a certain extent.
What's the deal with the poison? Aren't they, like, poisonous?
Well, the spines are poisonous, so you can't touch them. But if you can spear one and get it safely back to the boat, and you can clean it, and it's supposedly a very good-eating fish.
Safely
so you
gotta, back to the
you got to be, you know, as far as spearing them and that kind of thing, I've heard it's, you know, it's a technique. You got to be a little more careful than you would, you know, necessarily just spearing a regular fish. But it can be done. And, you know, they're not really known to be super fast, you know, fast-moving fish
either.
They're
camouflage fish.
Yeah. So I would imagine they would, well, as far as, you know, technique and stuff, it'd probably be an easy fish to catch. And a Hawaiian sling type of approach, just using, like, the band and a big long stick with a spear on the end of it type of thing, is probably a really easy way to do it. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea. Some of the that's the pros for doing this. Some of the cons were that, you know, people are a little concerned. Some of the other divers, I think, in Cozumel were concerned that, you know, will the dive operators, you know, they'll be taking divers out and everybody
they'll be divers and
spear fishermen
together.
And when you mix those two groups, sometimes it can create a problem. You spear a lionfish, you have the same issue with sharks.
Right.
And, you know, I don't like being around spear fishermen on a dive boat myself either, because when you spear a fish, whether it's a lionfish or any fish, and there happens to be a shark in the area,
they can get interesting. Yep. Now, let's ask this, too. I think another possible problem with lionfish in particular is that they're typically found right on the reef. So if you go trying to spear them, you could damage the reef.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm
not saying that spearing a fish is going to damage the reef, but trying to get into position, you know, missing
Yeah, gotta be careful.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that I would see that as a major issue.
Well, they're right on the reef. Whenever you see a lionfish, he's parked on the reef.
Well, so are fish a lot of times too that the spearfishermen will go after. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. I think it's minimal damage that a spearfisherman would do in that regard. I mean, the shaft is not going to be able to do that much. I mean, if
okay, I got to tell you what. You can't even say that word without Angela raising an eyebrow.
Yeah. Well, did you see what she brought back from Grenada?
I'm just thinking of the old bottle cap.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. We all know where her head is.
Here it was. I thought she was thinking of Richard Roundtree.
Yeah, so
I'll explain that later. Okay. You're nowhere near old enough.
Feel free to chime in, 888-88-SCUBA, with your 2 cents on what you think, whether or not we should help sponsor any lionfish spearfishing competitions, which would be a first for this show. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of the whole spear fishing thing overall, but that's more personal. I have nothing against it. I'm just more of a watcher as opposed to a taker
a doer.
In that regard.
The sport really started with spearfisher.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the sport of scuba diving started.
Right.
Was with spearfishing. And if you look at anything from the 60s and the 70s, it was spear fishermen, guys with giant fins, mm-hmm. striding out of the water, mainly in California.
Abalone.
With big fish on their catch line.
Yeah, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea that I'm against spear fishing, because I'm not.
Because the emails would be horribly angry.
No, I think that...
and these people have weapons.
It's actually, if you're doing it responsibly, which when you get into the free diving community and the people that really do this as a sport and a real challenge.
Right.
It really is quite amazing, and it's actually a very responsible way to go harvest what you want to eat and that kind of thing. And I'm for that 110%. It's just not my cup of tea. I did some spear fishing off the coast of Louisiana at the oil platforms.
Yep.
And I was, it's kind of intimidating. It's a little scary, okay? You know, when you're out there in the middle of nowhere, or you're by these oil platforms, and you know there are like 12-foot tiger sharks swimming around. It's a little. It's more for that reason I'm not really into it, because I've seen how the sharks can act when you spear a fish, and that's just not my cup of tea. I love sharks.
They just want to share.
They only want to share. God bless them. But I'm not willing to share an appendage. Yeah.
They want to share, but they want to share what you got. They're not bringing you half-eaten fish.
Yes.
Here, take this. I'll have your arm.
Yeah. Hey, we did have a northern right whale sighting off the coast of South Florida last week.
Very nice.
And, right whale is supposedly the largest whale on the planet. They call it the right whale because...
It's the right whale to hunt.
Exactly, because it was so big. It was massive. Lots of meat.
Yes.
What?
We're going to verify that information.
No, I think that's why they called it the right whale.
I think the blue whale is the largest whale, but we're going to double check your facts and see if there's anything written in the third paragraph
the
of this story.
The blue whale would be the wrong whale. This is the right whale I'm talking about. It was seen off the coast of Florida.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Been drawn to the sea. But it's an unnatural setting for us, a place of great danger. Tides, currents, waves, wind, each presenting their own hazards, none of which can be ignored. The slightest lapse of judgment can be a mistake you might never recover from. A good sailor doesn't fight against these elements. A good sailor works with them, using them to his advantage, while others less fortunate might be forever cast adrift, often in several pieces. He always comes home safely.
He does, unless he sees a right whale off the starboard bow of his dive boat. And
then what happens to him then? Does he die?
No, he poops himself. Because you can't believe how huge it is. And, of course, at the break, we found out that the right whale is not the largest whale
No,
as
blue
I
whale
said,
is
a blue whale. So, but it was a right whale because, as I said earlier, that hunters would hunt it and it would float, which they thought this would be the right whale to hunt.
Correct.
Isn't that what I said?
Yes, it's exactly what you said, Greg.
All right, here's your $5.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so there you go. And evidently they saw a northern right whale, which is
very
one
uncommon.
Of the rarest forms of, well, rarest whales in the world. Not necessarily.
Wasn't always. But I mean, if you went back 200 years when the whaling industry was at its peak, you saw a lot of right whales, and you saw them close to shore, and you shot them and you killed them. And as a result, it's a really sensitive species.
It definitely is on my list of things to do.
To shoot a right whale?
No, to snorkel. with a whale, whether it's a whale shark or a whale. I mean, that would be...
Wait a second. Wait. What? One of them's a giant fish and one of them's a mammal.
Yeah, but they're both huge, and I want to do both.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, we're going into whale watching season off the DR right now.
The Dominican Republic?
Yeah. They do their live aboard
the
whale trips.
He's so cool.
Yeah, they...
He's so hip.
I am.
He's so witty.
OMG, if you were to see a right whale while you're diving or snorkeling, it would be amazing. But yeah, you can do those liveaboard trips. You know, Explore Ventures run some trips for like a couple month period. I think it's like right about now for the next couple
months. January, February?
Yeah.
In that time frame?
This is the time of year to go see all the whales off of the Dominican Republic and experience a pretty cool adventure. One of these days, I'll get to do that.
And then if you had your cell phone with you, could be like, OMG, everyone, I just saw a whale. You know, update your Facebook status, and everybody would know.
All right, turn her mic off. maybe I need to, if you want to, like, lower your expectations a tad, at least for us in Florida.
How low can you go?
We have manatees. Now, last year, we did our little Crystal River adventure. And, if you haven't done the manatee snorkel or something, this is prime time right now.
I got to tell you what.
It's amazing.
I would imagine that they're probably still absolutely chock full.
300.
Yes.
At Three Sisters.
Over there, wow, at Crystal River area or Homosassa Springs.
Now, we went.
Very popular activity this time of year, for sure.
When we were, because that's where we went, right? We went to Three Sisters.
Yes.
And there were 20.
Yeah.
And it seemed pretty full.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 10 times
that? They said you can walk across if you weren't going to do that. But
okay, I don't think that's legal.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. But yeah, when it was really cold over there, they counted.
And it's still cold.
They
counted
300.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. But, you know, they are, it's an experience you definitely want to try at least once or a couple times because it's really, really, really fun.
And it's not a huge impact kind of dive. It's not the sort of thing where you need to really work up to traveling hundreds of thousands of miles across country. It's a nice inland dive, and Birds Underwater does a great job.
Yeah, birdsunderwater.com. You can go to that website and check it out. But, you might get lucky every once in a while someplace, you know.
Not with a mermaid, you can't. It's called harassment.
Unique place off the coast of Florida where one of these wayward manatees just shows up by accident.
Right.
Maybe it's not like a manatee snorkel hotspot like Crystal River.
Maybe it's Rhode Island.
Yeah, every once in a while we get a wayward manatee that kind of loses his way and shows up, and next thing you know, it's in the news, and they got to capture it and take it back to some warmer water area. And we had that situation with this particular manatee named Hurricane. We'll tell you about Hurricane and why she had to be relocated not once but twice back to the Miami Seaquarium.
I got a theory. I think it's because she's stupid.
No.
She's spicy.
No, I think she just...
She wanted to get the heck out.
A fashion plate. We'll explain that. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection. Manatee. This is a manatee that literally was, I guess it was born at the Miami Seaquarium in 1983, and they released it back into the wild in 2008.
If it's born in the Seaquarium, you're not releasing it back to the wild. You're
well.
You what you're doing is you're kicking it out of the house. This is a kid, you know, you've had it at home, it's gone through school.
It's born in captivity.
It can't hold down a job, and you finally said, go out and find yourself a way to make your own living.
Be free! And they've had a problem with this manatee showing up in some strange places. So twice now, the manatee has shown up in an area where, you know, it probably shouldn't have. It was too cold, or in this case, which was kind of strange, the most recent... the first time they found Hurricane tangled in fishing line and floats, which is a problem. But also, what was kind of unique for Hurricane, they found him in a leopard print lace bra.
What?
Yeah, fishing line, floats, in a leopard print lace bra.
She was, in fact, looking for love in all the wrong places.
She was a working girl.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is she a girl or a boy? Hurricane? He's a he. But that's okay
now,
in Miami.
Now it makes sense. This makes a lot more sense to me now because Tuesday's ladies' night. Manatees drink free.
Okay. Well, there you go. So you never know. You might run into a wayward.
You know, I may have met her once
manatee.
On a ladies' night now that I think about it.
You might have woken up with her.
No, I didn't. Next... No.
Scott?
Even they won't take me home.
Not you either. Angela? How about you?
No. Sure? No.
Even a manatee in a leopard lace bra would not take me home. We'll I'm not lucky at love.
Hey, that'd be a good night in Key West. But anywhere else. Maybe,
so where was she
South
found
Beach.
This time? Where was she found the second time? You've told us about the two times. So give me the story on the second time.
Some cold water place.
Unravel your damn story and give me some facts here.
Oh, Silver Glen Springs.
That doesn't seem bad. It's
no,
a spring.
It's not good. It was cold.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Hi, it's Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live, and you're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Here's my close personal friend and mentor and the guy that I just owe just about everything I have to. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Greg the Dive Master Holt.
Boy, you might be legally retarded.
Yeah, me and Daryl go way back. And he's tried to distance himself from me as much as possible.
Yeah, you know, we kid about that. Sometimes it's hard to tell. If you follow, if anyone listening to this program has ever followed my advice about anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the things I say about radio is everything's a bit. Always just imagine that when you hear radio, everything is a bit.
Except.
Turns out, and I hate to give you a backseat stuff, Angela's a man.
Oh, my God, Bill! My life
How do you know that?
I have a great rec. Hello?
I'm not saying nothing right
separating
there.
All that out. You really did work with Daryl Hammond.
I did, yeah.
I mean, him saying that you're his mentor and that he owes his entire career to you, maybe overstating it a bit.
Oh, no.
But you actually worked with Daryl Hammond earlier in his career before he was on Saturday Night Live.
I did, absolutely, yeah. Me and Daryl produced bits for a morning show here in Orlando for about a year and a half. And, I look back at that time as a very amazing time in my radio career. He looks back at it as a time where he'd rather block it out and forget about it.
Yeah, I understand how that is.
The highlight
of my radio career is when Jean-Michel Cousteau said that I should be fired.
Yeah, that was exactly. That was a good time. So, Bill has alienated the Marine, you know, ambassador of the underwater world. And,
yes.
And I've alienated, you know, the cast of Saturday Night Live. But I'm coming to Jersey anyway. I'm coming to New York. Beneath the Sea once again. So, you know, this will be the fifth year in a row that I call up Daryl. Hey, Daryl, can you get us into SNL?
And he'll say no again.
And right. He'll say, who is this?
Yeah.
Wait, hold
God,
on.
God, he's calling me again?
You know, my life was a lot better when Bill Clinton and George Bush were president because I could do their impersonations. Yeah. I do a terrible Barack Obama. I may be out of a job.
I don't think he's on SNL anymore. Actually.
I'm telling you what.
I think he quit.
I think he may have been told, you don't do a very good Barack Obama.
Yeah. He's on a commercial with, what's his name?
They got Keenan or Donald Cal. Trump. I can't remember which one.
Donald Trump Doritos or something. They're doing some commercial together. But
yeah.
Anyway, we wish Daryl the best. He's a good guy.
Yes.
Even though he doesn't want anything to do with me. Mm. But who does?
Actually, that kind of reinforces his good guy image in my mind.
All right, right before the holidays, I've been holding on to this story, and I don't know if you saw this on Dateline NBC.
By the holidays, he means Halloween.
There was this guy, David Swain, and he was a former dive store owner in Rhode Island.
Yes.
And he was convicted of murdering his wife while scuba diving in the BVIs several years ago. Did you see that story? This is pretty interesting.
So this is not the same guy who killed his wife down in Australia.
No, there might be some truth to the fact that this guy was given was railroaded by the court system in the BVIs.
BVIs, of course, the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. you know, my buddy from Divers Down, Mark Stanton, he did some work with this guy, and I know Mark. We're acquaintances, and he said that this David guy is a straight-up guy, and he's shocked to think that he could have ever done anything like this and really does believe that this guy's gotten the shaft.
All right, so what are the details?
Well,
what are the facts?
They had rented, well, we'll tell you after the boat, or after they were
after
on a boat.
Boat.
After
they
the
were on a boat.
And then we'll tell you about their boat. Yeah.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hi, my name is Jordan Mazinski from Chicago.
Hi, Bears.
And I'm here with my close friend, Greg, who's the Scuba Radio Dive Master. Plus, he was my roomie on the AquaCat. I'm not telling you no more because whatever was said in the islands, it stays in the islands.
106 miles to Chicago.
But I didn't keep you warm at night.
No, he stole my pillow.
It's dark and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Where would we go?
Chicago.
Oh. We are.
We? Yeah, we.
We're going to Chicago.
We?
Just this side of the table.
That's you.
Us guys.
For our world underwater. Matter of fact, George, you just heard George. He's just getting off of the AquaCat liveaboard trip with Captain Slate This is their annual adventure. They're just finishing up that little thing, so I'm sure we'll get a full report from Captain Slate, George, and all the friends there that were on that vessel when we're up there at Our World Underwater in a few weeks. But let's talk about this story that was on Dateline NBC. Now, you may or may not have seen this, but it was one of those, you know, one-hour investigative reporting show things that they do. And basically, this guy, David Swain, a former dive store owner out of Rhode Island, was convicted of murdering his wife while scuba diving in the British Virgin Islands several years ago. Now, the reason I bring this up, you know, we've had a few of these type of stories the last couple of years. And I think pretty much all of them have been, yep, the guy probably did it, and, you know, he didn't get away with it kind of thing. However, this one, there seems to be a pretty good contingency of dive people that I know in the industry that say that this guy's gotten a raw deal.
Okay.
And when I watched the show, which I did over the holidays, I got to say there were definitely a lot of questions. I mean, when you're just looking at a TV show, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But I got to tell you, I sure did not see a clear smoking gun situation as far
as... Okay, was she shot?
No, she wasn't.
All right. Well,
but they were on a site there in the British Virgin Islands. The conditions were pretty much perfect. But it ends up, she had a history, which I don't know if this was addressed well in the court system there in the British Virgin Islands, but she did have a problem with dealing with underwater panic. And as a dive instructor, I got to tell you, that is a serious problem.
Yeah.
And they went back into her dive log where she had written several situations where she had a serious problem with panic. And you know, the defense tried to get that out there, but obviously not to the... to the level that they could get him off.
Well, the thing is, she can't be a witness,
right?
At the trial in her own murder, obviously.
Yeah.
So to be able to submit something which is supposedly in her own hand, she cannot confirm, and that sort of thing probably doesn't get admitted as evidence.
Yeah, and there's, once again, there's always two sides to every story.
Right.
And there was obviously some real damning evidence that didn't work in his favor.
Well,
but I got to say, you know, that would have been a serious problem for me. And actually, you know, when they went and recovered the dive gear and all that kind of stuff, one of the things was one of her fins was off of her and was sticking into the sand.
Okay.
Like someone had stuck it into the sand where the blade was stuck in the sand.
Right.
And you know, they said the prosecution was claiming that this was because there was a struggle. He had come up behind her, turned her air off, and, you know, there was a fight or whatever, and he basically, you know, caused her to drown. However, it was kind of weird. It was kind of like, why would your fin stick in the sand like that and stick straight up? You know, because they went back and they looked at it, and the sand, the composition of the sand was pretty hard. It wasn't like you could just take a fin and just stick it in and it would jab in there. Someone right. would have to literally, like, fan the sand in and then, like, pack it back in to get a right. fin to sand straight up in this particular site by this wreck there on the British Virgin Islands. And the defense excuse was it, which I thought held up, was that they were diving together, but he was off by himself. So they had broken the buddy team rule. That was,
right.
that was a big problem, obviously. But what they think is that she was marking her spot. She was having a problem with a fin, and she had stuck the fin in to mark a spot and was, going back to, take a picture or something. And that's what she did. She had taken her fin off and stuck it in the sand. And I've seen divers do that before. To mark
really?
Something.
To mark a place.
Yeah. Have you seen that, Scott?
No.
You didn't know? You haven't?
But for $5, I have.
Okay. No, I mean, I have seen...
So their theory is that she calmly enough took her fin off to mark spot and then panicked later when she only had one fin and she's swimming in circles?
No, they think that she did panic.
It seems to me that the act of deciding I can do without one fin and I'll mark this spot and come back to it
Yeah, what was that?
Separates us from panic. That's someone who's thinking rationally enough to say, well, I'm in control of the situation. This will help me. This is my spot, and I'll go and do that. That does not sound like a panicked mind
to
me.
Well, at that particular point, she wasn't. But what happened, they said she was having a problem with her fins.
Yeah.
It was hurting her feet. And
so she decided to go barefoot.
She'd taken off one of her fin.
And I suppose if you've taken off the fin and you want to come back
there,
and get it because it's hurting your feet, that's a way to keep it from floating away or something.
Right.
Why just one?
Well, I don't remember if they said she had her other fin on her or not.
Okay.
I don't remember that part. But I mean I have seen people do that where they took their fins off for whatever reason to mark a spot. And then they were just putzing around, taking pictures or whatever, and then they came back and picked up their fin and put it back on and went play. Yeah, Abby's done that. That's who does that. Abby, one of our...
She does do that.
She would take her fins off and set them off to the side because she'd like swimming around underwater without fins.
I do that too, but it's because I like swimming around with no fins.
Well, okay, maybe
but
this...
But what do you mark a spot for? Why
well, you might
just...
be marking it so that you can come back to those
maybe
fins.
Maybe she's stuck whether... in the sand so it wouldn't, you know, the
wouldn't
current
float away.
No, yeah, I know. Exactly. I do the same thing, but like... I'm just hanging out right there. I'm not going somewhere. That,
well,
hey,
she was too. I mean, the fin was found right next to where she was. And she didn't go a far distance from where the fin was. It was right next to the wreck. So if she took it off because it was hurting her ankle or whatever, stuck it in the sand. I don't know. It seemed like a feasible
defense. That does seem reasonable.
Thing.
Not as marking a spot, but as taking your fin off and making sure you can come back to it. I'm now with you.
Okay.
I'm now with you.
It only took, 15 minutes?
Free David Sway! Free David Sway! Free David Sway!
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Once again, for Bill to prove himself right, he found out that our buddy, Mr. Blaine, David Blaine?
David Swain. David Swain. Blaine's the illusionist.
Oh, right. That David Swain actually believes that the right whale is the largest whale on the planet. Is that right?
I actually did a little research during the break about this David Swain thing, and there's some things which didn't get brought out in trial. It turns out that in his own defense, these are the sort of things he once brought out to reflect his past. His father, who was a violent man, ran away from the family when he was a young man in order to become a woman.
Right. Oh, I remember that. And the reason he wanted to bring that up is because the jury said that there was a lack of emotion being shown from him.
Well, there's more to it than that.
Oh.
When he was 21,
mm-hmm.
his brother beat their mother to death.
Oh. I don't remember that part.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that too. So it's the sort of thing which apparently has, it'll desensitize you a little bit.
I don't know. I, from what I saw, it still looked a little suspicious. Or it just looked like, you know, maybe something wasn't.
Well, here's the one thing which I don't like about it. And this is the one thing I don't like. The defense, and defenses will do this sometimes, they'll throw out a whole bunch of different things which might have happened because what you're trying to do is establish reasonable doubt.
Right.
So they throw out a bunch of different things, and they say that the autopsy was done so poorly that you can't tell if maybe she died from natural causes like a stroke or a heart attack. Sounds like they're fishing. You know, they can't come up with a reason for what really happened. So they say, well, maybe this happened, and maybe this happened, and maybe this happened. And maybe she turned into a mermaid, or maybe she ran away and become a man.
Oh, wait, no way. That could happen.
It can.
Maybe she went dry suit diving in Chicago.
Right,
that could
knows?
Happen.
I don't think it's gonna.
Well, we wish him the best in jail. All right, that'll
maybe
have to
she
do.
Saw a lionfish and tried to kill it.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah. All right, well, that'll have to do for this week of the big show. Remember, it's always better where, Angela?
Down where it's wetter.
Say it more dirty.
No.
Oh, okay.
Down where it's wetter.
Oh, God.
There we go.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.